This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello. Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is one of the very, very few episodes of the Mickham Football Show where I will be solo. Long story short, I keep sleeping in on a sunny Saturday morning here in Alice Springs, Australia, which means anytime if I wake up after 8 a.m., it's already midnight in the UK, so apologies for that. It does mean a lot of the boys aren't able to join me in this discussion, and I am very conscious that this hasn't happened for the past 2 weeks. So I wanted to mainly just use today as a good opportunity for me to at least vent my opinions around what's happened at the club in the last couple of weeks. When we have these discussions, we will always bring up things that might cause a little bit of disagreement, shall we say, with player performances, with, well, obviously, I think since the last podcast, there was no discussion around the transfers either. So the transfer window is done and dusted. What we've gone through, incomings of the club quite in depth. Brobbery coming in, he's had his debut already, okay performance. Pretty much our entire starting 11, with the exception of Trey Hume, is completely different from last season. Trey Hume's probably our most and Ballard, if he was still fit, is our most consistent player. It's just his performances in the Premier League have been unreal, well deserved, well earned, and just fantastic, really. So the fact that the majority of our players who have come in have basically, because I think if it's a couple of players here and there, and it's not like a complete, how do I put it? It's like, well, roofs for Patterson. Basically any position for any of the new starters, because there's such a strong competition with the lads that have come in, the old heads are kind of become the B squad, and I think that they should be looking at it from a standpoint of this is the level of not just talent but the ability that we need to be able to, what on earth happened there? This is the level of ability that we need to be at to get into the first team squad. Like I said, only Trey Hume has really met that standard. Ballard, again, has met that standard. But we've also recruited quite heavily in the centre-back positions. So I think even if Ballard is fit next week against Nottingham Forest, or he looks pretty fit, to be fair, if you're looking at the social medias for the training camp during the gap between the Palace game and now. So it looks like he might be coming straight back in the squad, but we'll see. Maybe we don't want to aggravate it too early. So yeah, squad selections are very, very interesting. The main person I really want to talk about leaving the club is Patrick Roberts. Now, on this channel, we have been critical of Patrick Roberts, and I think rightly so. We don't just slay people, or I don't just slay people for the sake of it. I know this man has talent. He has what I think is the classic, how do you put this, confidence issue. He's had a knock. The last time I remember, week in, week out, that Patrick Roberts was performing to a very, very high standard, was when Amad Diallo was in the first season back in the championship. He was unreal. He was quality. It's, like I said, a confidence thing. As soon as Diallo went back to Manchester United, Patrick Roberts' performances started to dip off. He was used consistently throughout that Mowbray, Dodds, Beale, Dodds season. The fact that we have four different people in charge in the same seasons, mind-boggling. I know Dodds is a caretaker twice, but that's still too much. So the 16th season, he was our reliant Mr. Right Wing attacker, just providing every option. And he was subpar. He's been subpar that entire season. He had a couple of performances the next season, the promotion season, which were much, much better. And he did rescue some points in some instances, but categorically, he does have a issue in passing. He is constantly trying to break past too many players, and he's not looking for the pass first. So when the likes of Dingwa, Siddiqui, Talbi come into the squad, and their first instinct is to get it towards that penalty spot rather than breaking past the man, they can break past the man, those three players I've mentioned there. But the first instinct is to get it into the danger zone, not the ego of getting themselves in a shooting position. It does bring up that level of quality. Now, in the championship, you will get times where trying to break past a very weak back line is going to be possible. But in the Premier League, I think Patrick Roberts, with that approach, it's just not going to work. So, unfortunately, him joining Birmingham City made the most complete sense I've ever come across from a transfer prospect. He is our player until 2027, I believe. And depending on how he's performing at Birmingham City, I think that might become permanent. Now, it might upset a couple of people here and there, but for me, feels like the right move for everybody involved. And that's kind of what I want to get at, really. You've got a lot of players from the end of the championship season that I feel deserve a good shot at Premier League football. Seals going out as well. That's a very interesting one. He's basically the backup for he was the backup for Ballard and Luke 09 last season. So, yeah, like him going, it makes sense if he's second string in the championship, but he's young, he's talented, he's big, he's strong, and he's gone. So, yeah, I think the outbounds for the transfer window are interesting, shall we say, at the very least. And I kind of feel like some of the players that are still with us might not be the right choice either. So we shall see what happens with our academy players, our B string team, and what have you. But yes, I know, like, I've been waffling on quite a little bit there about transfers. So I'll jump now into the first game that we haven't discussed so far, the 2-1 win at the Stadium Light against Brentford. Now, first half, I'm just going to write off very, very quickly. Very dogged, slow counter-attacking, a lot of side passing, but ultimately some really good defending, keeping us in the game. And yeah, creatively, it wasn't the best. Like, I don't think anybody's going to like watch the full 90 and watch our first half with like very keen intent. It was just basically players doing what they should be doing to keep clean sheets. And like I said, there's a couple of performances in there, a couple of slip ups, and we weren't punished. So that is I guess a positive. Now, the second half is where all of the action happened. It's quite simple. Thiago gets a goal in the 77th minute for Brentford. I kind of feel it was against momentum, but they took their first chance when they got it. Overall, they had six shots in the entire game, and two of them were on target. It took them that long to get a shot on target. That was actually dangerous. So, in this league, it's about you will be coming up in games where it is just two teams locking heads and
trying to pick up at least a point in a 0-0 draw. And in this one, it looked like Brentford might have nicked it. So that was the kick in the teeth, I think, that we needed. There was a lot of penalty claims throughout the game. There was two handballs, I think, that were not given. And to be fair, they shouldn't have been given. Natural positions, too short, whipped at their hands. But eventually we do actually get a penalty and Enzo Lafitte converted. I discussed it on the video around my Fantasy Premier League team. Enzo Lafitte playing pretty much the full game and scoring a goal. Horrific decision for me to have him subbed off and not playing. But that puts us level just 5 minutes after going behind. So the game's 1-1 there. And then, like I said, it was a kick up the backside. It was a kick in the teeth, slap in the head. Let's just go through all of the very quick assaults. It's exactly what we kind of needed for that. Not only the players, but the fans in the stadium to like gear up the game. Every tackle after that point was celebrated because we did score against Brentford, which I guess was kind of a bit of a surprise. Bit of a lifeline with the penalty. And, oh, I haven't even mentioned it. Roof saved the penalty, didn't he? quality. So, yes. I don't know where to go. This is where I use my friends to help me with, like, guiding the conversation. But, yes, the till the end motto going into this game was still alive. Wilson Isidore breaking through, slotting it past the Brentford keeper. Just a perfect end to a solid game. I can't really complain too much. But I'm just going to quickly go over the events timeline in this game and let me know your thoughts in the comments. Right, kickoff, half time, 56 minutes, yellow card Sunderland for Reinaldo Mandava. 57 minutes, yellow card for Habib Diarra. Yellow card for Brentford's Igor Thiago. Substitution, Adingra on for Talbi and Isidore on for Mienda in the 65th minute. In the 71st, you had double substitution for Brentford. Henry and Oyenka in, Henderson and Lewis Potter off. Then, 6 minutes later, Brentford score. Then Rico Henry in the 80th minute gets a yellow card. Sunderland score a penalty in the 82nd minute with from Enzo Lafitte. Then Diarra's off and Guy is on in the 87th. Brentford makes substitution, Carvalho on and Shardy off. Granit Xhaka gets a yellow card in the 94th and then Wilson Isidore scores in the 96th and end of match. All of the action in this game was in the second half. That's what I'm getting at. There's very, very little to write home in the first half, but as soon as basically like the cards start coming in and the substitutions are made, the tactics of the game change massively. And I think there's like obviously Brentford score their goal. That's a really good change, especially with Thiago getting a bit more creative flow coming into him. But how do I put this succinctly without waffling too much? It was a bit of a log. It was a bit of like who's gonna. It's like a gladiator match, I guess, or a fight or a boxing game. Like it was just who's gonna come out on top from all of the physical. How do I put it? Like, it wasn't mainly set pieces, but like it was a lot of physical trying to break through lines, and Sunderland had a lot of the ball in that they were trying to find a nice clean pass.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of.
Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
Through the middle, they were trying to find somebody breaking into the box. It wasn't just like the first half, people keeping a rigid performance formation and going through the motions of just blocking it. There was people trying to be creative, trying to break through the lines, and kind of feel because of the timing of the Brentford goal, it could have in other games of past been the death of the game. It could have ended 1-0 and that would have been it. And we'd be like, oh, well, we didn't bury our chances, all of that. So, yeah, like the Brentford performance overall, I'd say it's obviously fantastic 3 points, another 3 points on the board at the Stadium of Light. Buzzing with it. And yeah, like it's not a full 90 minutes performance that I think is going to be like looked at as a masterclass, but it is a good telltale sign from Sunderland. We are a team that's here to fight. That's where I'm at. Oh, we have chat and it's not showing up here, so sorry about that. I've just assumed nobody was talking to me, so let me load up the studio. So the chat feature on my OBS isn't working, so let me just get up this live stream. I can see chat messages popping up here now, so bear with me, mate, bear with me. I don't even know who's chatting. Deal, hello, mate. Hello. How are you doing? Let me do pop out chat so I can see that same time. Here we go. We have a battle on Sunday. The Villa are getting desperate. We need to be at the races early doors. Don't give them a chance. 100% agree with that one, mate. Let me see if I can move this so you can see your chat. There you go. That should work. Does that work if I do that as well? There you go. Hope you're having a great week. Thank you, mate. It's nice. And yeah. Did the job though. Exactly, it did the job. We got 3 points and that's ultimately what matters. Now I'm going to quickly move into the Crystal Palace game and go from there. So let's do the match action points. So kickoff, 14th minute, yellow card for Munoz, half time. So the first half, I think Crystal Palace should have had a lot more cards than they got. There was a lot of what on earth? There was a lot of very interesting decisions made by the referee and then third officials around who was deemed as like a legitimate foul. It just felt like it was an absolute rugby match in that first half. And I don't mind a bit of rugby occasionally, but some of those should have been reined back and maybe a little bit of slap on the wrist and might be a little bit of extra tension, especially with a back line from Palace's perspective. Getting yellow cards would have made complete sense. Now, moving into the second half, substitution for Crystal Palace, Davini in and Lerma out. And then in the 69th minute, same substitution with Brobby in and Adingra out. And then not much happened. Robin Roofs gets a yellow card for a bit of time wasting in the 77th minute. I don't think it was massively that egregious, but oh well, the rules are the rules. And then a couple more substitutions, 84th minute, Sunderland do one, Palace do one again, Uche in, Pinot out, and then Gutierrez in and Siddiqui out. So we put in, I think, two debutants in this game with Gutierrez and Brobby. But then in the 94th minute, for some reason, we put on Chris Rigg for Wilson Istor, and then the game ends. 0-0. For me, this is probably one of the better 0-0s I've seen from Sunderland in terms of just being resolute. So here's the big stats that make sense to me. Shots for Sunderland, 6 and 1 on target. If we're going to be this low on shots away from home, we need to be just clinical in front of goal. We don't need to walk it in, but we need to be better in the chances that we do get. And to the opposite end, again, this is probably why Roofs is got a lot of points on the board. 13 shots, six on target, double saves all around the pitch. Like, without Roofs, we would have lost this game. I have no doubt. If that was Anthony Patterson goal, the double save would have been a panic. It would have been scrappy. Just the level-headedness of Robin Roofs in this performance was there. So I'm very, very happy with that point away from home. Obviously, I'd like to see someone score, but ultimately, if you can't score, keep a clean sheet. And that's what this is about. I know a friend of the channel, Michael Bowers, will be very, very happy with a clean sheet, especially in the Premier League. And yeah, like, I don't think there's anything too much from me or from my perspective to write home about this performance. It is just Sunderland getting points when we're the underdogs. And we are going to be the underdogs quite a lot in this season as well. So just bear that in mind. Now, I'm going to quickly go through the league table, and then we'll talk about the very last thing I want to talk about, which is the Villa game coming up this evening. So, where are we at with the table? Here we are. So, perfect still 100% win record for Liverpool with 12 points. Then we have three teams on 9 points: Arsenal, Spurs, and Brentford. Both 1-3 and lost 1. Then, still undefeated, Chelsea, 2 wins, 2 draws on 8 points. Then, joint 6th on goal scored and goal difference. So, purely alphabetical, Everton and Sunderland with 7 points, 2 wins, a draw and a loss each. Then, we actually move into some of the more surprising ones. Man City on 6 points with 2 wins and 2 losses. Crystal Palace still undefeated. So there's another mini accolade that we could potentially take from this. We picked up a point that is still got 0 on that loss column. Not many goals in the Palace games, though, as well. 4 scored, 1 against. Yeah, like, I'm quite happy with that 0-0 result against Crystal Palace. Then we have two teams on 5 points, Newcastle and Fulham. I want to go call them both the black and white teams. Just because I might piss some people off. both of them going into that game with 2 draws and a loss, and then picking up 3 points in their last outing. We have 5 teams on 4 points: Brentford, Brighton, Man U, Nottingham Forest, and Leeds United. 3 points for both the. Actually, all of the claret/maroon teams are really struggling. Burnley, West Ham, and Villa on 3-3-2 points. So, losing a lot of goals. Like, combined from those three, there is 22 goals conceded and 8 scored. If you're coming up against a team in claret, you're looking at a good, good game. I need to be very careful with how I say that, though, because we are playing one of those teams in this upcoming performance. Aston Villa coming up this evening, really, now. If you're in the UK, it should be later on today, 3 o'clock kickoff. And then Wolverhampton Wanderers, I'm not a clue what's happening there. No points so far. They can, in theory, climb out of the bottom three if a 4-goal swing is switched between them and Burnley, and West Ham and Villa do not pick up. West Ham pick up no points and Villa don't pick up any more than 1. So Wolves, 4 games in, already kind of struggling to get out of the bottom three. That is bizarre. But that's football, right? So, if Sunderland are able to pick up 3 points at the Stadium of Light again, that could put us up on 10 points, which, if nobody else was playing or the teams above us don't win, could see us in second place. It's highly unlikely. I think if we are going to either draw or win this game, I think realistically we're going to be hovering between that 5th to 10th spot, just because of how tight this league is at the moment. But, yeah, I think predictions-wise, I'll go into that very, very quickly. And, wow, I can ramble a lot. It's 23 minutes of just solo talking on this podcast, so thank you for sticking it out. If you're listening to it on one of the podcasting services, come to the YouTube channel, interact with the chat live, as Dale has so far. I do it weekly. I need to find a time that works for both me and the UK team. The boys! And yeah, like at the moment, the only time that really works is 9 p.m. on a Friday or 9:30 p.m. on a Friday, which means it's 5 o'clock in the morning here, and I have slept in twice, so I need to work out the correct more mutual time. And yes, anyways, the last thing we want to do is predictions for the Aston Villa game. So, like I said, Aston Villa, they've really struggled to score. They haven't scored a single goal in the Premier League thus far. I don't know how to read into that, though, because that does just mean... what does that actually mean? Not a lot. 0-0 draw the opener against Newcastle. Again, that's a solid performance. Brentford sneaking a win. I say sneaking a win. It was very early in the game. Brentford winning quite resolutely, shall we say. And then an absolute drubbing by Crystal Palace. So we know how Crystal Palace play. So maybe that early penalty swayed that one. 3-0 loss there. And then they did actually score in the second Brentford game in a 1-1 game. This time they lost on penalties though. So, and then a 0-0, another 0-0 against Everton. So it's not like they're big high scoring games. It's one drubbing against Crystal Palace. One goal scored in the League Cup. Like, I don't really know how to read it. I can't really see Aston Villa being creatively too attacking. They need to be, but that might leave gaps. So I think what Villa need to do more than anything is counter-attack football, which means Sunderland will have a lot of the ball. Oh, I'm just trying to like think of all of the nuance of the players, the squad, the injuries. I can see Sunderland setting up a very standard 4-3-2-1 up until probably like the 70th minute, where we might revert to a back line of a three to push for a goal if we haven't scored by then. But I can also see Aston Villa setting themselves up in a 4-5-1 formation with counter-attacking being their main focus. So they would want rigid, solid lines with a good target man, a good fast target man. Do you know what? I'm just going to punt for it. Good old bog standard football prediction. If you're not sure, always go for a 2-1. 2-1, Sunderland win. Let's just have a little bit of confidence that Sunderland are going to keep this momentum going for as long as possible. I know the international break might have threw off a couple of teams, but not us. We're ready for it. And that's it. I think I'm going to wrap it up here. It's been an interesting little podcast today. Thank you again, Dale, for joining in, mate. I appreciate some interaction here. I'm not just rambling to myself. But yeah, we have a good game ahead of us. I'll see you on the watch along in a couple of hours' time. And until then, well, lads, foot the mags, tout le revoir. Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at cargurus.com. Go to cargurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CARGURUS.com. CarGurus.com.